Revelation chapter number 5. I'm going to look 1 through 7 tonight. We're going to do the whole chapter, but I'm only going to read verse 1 through 7 there. And I want to show you what John saw when he looked up. When John looked up, what he saw. This right here is very important, Revelation chapter 5, for you to understand the rest of the book of Revelation. Here's when he looks up, what he sees and what God's fixing to do. And I'm telling you, it's amazing that he saw it and was able to pin it down. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Revelation chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1 in the Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, 'And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, and neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not.'" Whoa, glory. "Weep not. He said, 'Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain." Woo, can I say that's my Jesus? That's my Jesus, that's my Savior. "Having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Our Father and our God, I thank you in Jesus' name that you've allowed us to come out to your house tonight. Father, I pray for every single prayer request that was mentioned tonight, everyone that was lifted up tonight, the ones that have cancer, the ones that has been delivered from cancer, the ones that have all kind of tests going on. Lord, I pray tonight that you would touch them in a mighty way. Father, for the ones that didn't have no prayer request, but all they had was a praise report, to thank you that you've been better than good. Father, I thank you tonight that you've been better than good to me. I thank you tonight that you saved me from a devil's hell. Father God, that you saved me from wrath. You saved me, Father God, when I was unsavable. You saved me when I was unlovable. You saved me when I didn't deserve it. Father, you reached down from heaven and you done a work in my life. And I'm grateful for that. I'm indebted to you for that. And I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray that I'll be able to tell everybody what I've saw in my life, Father, how good you've been. And Father, for the next few moments, I pray that you clear my mind, clear my thought, clear everything that's going on. Let me preach just about you. I know I'm in over my head. I know tonight, Father, I need you to touch. And I'd ask the Holy Ghost to reach down in this place. I pray you illuminate everybody's mind, open their ears, open their heart, and let the Spirit speak this afternoon. Father, I love you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. It be all about you in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said tonight, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, I want to title this, or I want to look at what I saw, what John saw here in chapter number 5 tonight, what John saw. Tonight when you come here, John said how he saw something that impacted him in a mighty way. John saw something that impacted him in a great and mighty way. Have you ever seen something that impacted your life in a mighty way? I'm talking about it scars your mind. You can't get it out of it. You can't get it away from you. You've seen something. Here he says it did that in a way so much that he began to weep. But I am so thankful tonight that we're able to get a glimpse of what John saw. There's three things, three different things there that he saw when he looked up into heaven there, and he was called up into that a third world, called up into where God lays his head at night. And he said this, he said, number one, he said, "I saw a scroll that was sealed," or "I saw a book that was sealed." And if you look in verse number 1, he said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." He saw that scroll that was sealed. And as I studied that, I understand a scroll here would be 30 foot in length. It could be up to 30 foot in length and written on both sides. On the front and the back of that scroll, it would be written. And when you say, "Preacher, what would be written in these scrolls? What would be contained in these scrolls?" And as we go on through the book of Revelation and Jesus Christ Himself, the only one that is worthy, He opens these up. We're going to see what was written there. But tonight, as you look at that, there would be contracts and wills and title deeds were written within these scrolls. And after each page that would be written, they would seal that book. They would seal that scroll up and go to the next part. And he opened the seal that had to be at least three witnesses that would be present. And that is according to the Old Testament. They would have to be at least three witnesses would have to be present before you could open them seals, before you could open it up. Can I say to you that when John looked up into heaven, hey, was three witnesses there. Can I get amen? Hey, you see the Father, you see the Son, and you see the Holy Spirit. And tonight this book or this scroll would contain the deed to the earth. What Adam had lost, Jesus Christ was fixing to win back. What Adam had lost, Jesus Christ is fixing to take back. What Adam lost in that garden, and he lost this world, and Satan became the prince of the air. I want you to know Jesus Christ is fixing to win it back. This scroll is how God will regain His inheritance. And there's two things. There's more than two, but one's going to be the scroll of judgment. And as you look in the scrolls and we go down through there, you're going to see them seven seals that's going to be opened throughout the Bible here. But Satan tonight, that scroll of judgment is this. Satan has had power and influence on the earth since Adam had failed. Since Adam failed, you know what? Oh, Satan, he is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's got power on this earth. He's got power in the realm that we live in today. And today I want you to know in John 12:31, the Bible says, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So I see when he opens these scrolls, you're going to see that judgment is coming. But I want you to know tonight, judgment is coming because he's fixing to redeem all mankind. He's fixing to redeem this earth. He's fixing to get back what Satan had took tonight. But this tonight, I wrote this down, only Jesus is worthy to open the seals. Only Jesus is worthy to open the seals. When the question is asked here, if you'll look in verse number 2, talking about this scroll, when the question is asked, who is worthy to open and loose the seals? And look what happened. Look what he says in verse number 2. Here's what John said. He said, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? When he asked that question, I want you to look. At that moment, the search is underway. At that moment, the question's been asked, who is worthy to open this book? Who is worthy to loosen these seals? And tonight, can I say to you that tonight, if you'll look with me in verse number 3, as to what they begin to look at. Look in verse number 3. At this moment, it is underway. They're looking, who is worthy? Who is worthy to do this? Who is open to worthy to open this book? Who is open to loose these seals and let these things happen to the earth? Who is worthy tonight? He said, number 1, look with me. And no man in heaven. They looked in heaven and God's dwelling there. And as they looked in, they looked into heaven to see if anybody there was worthy to open it up. But not only that, he says, nor in earth. Hey, they looked in heaven, they looked in the earth, and they couldn't find no man. He said, and underneath the earth. I wrote down here in your paper, if you'll look, they ain't no angel stepped up here. The angel stepped up, a strong angel, and said, who is worthy? Hey, can I say to you, when this angel asked, hey, Gabriel didn't come forth. Hey, can I say to you, Michael didn't come forth. Hey, can I say to you, Elijah didn't come forth. Hey, can I say to you, Adam didn't come forth. Hey, there's only one worthy to open that book, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as he got there, there's no angel that stepped up. There's no man that stepped up. Nobody is worthy but Jesus tonight. Only Jesus is worthy to open this book. And tonight, I want you to get this. He is worthy tonight because Jesus is our kinsman redeemer tonight. He is the one that is going to redeem you and is going to redeem to me tonight. But not only that, there is not nothing that he loses that he wants back that he don't get back. When he lost this earth, when this earth was took and Satan got free reign to do what he wanted to do, you know what he did? He made it a point. He was going to buy it back. He was going to win it back and he was going to take it back. And here I want you to get this tonight. If you'll turn with me, if you will, to Leviticus 25 and verse number 25 tonight, I want to show you how that kinsman redeemer has the opportunity to buy back this land, to buy back what has been lost, to buy back the inheritance that has been lost. And the Leviticus 25 in verse number 25 tonight, I want to show you this in the Bible. Man, I thank God that I've got a kinsman redeemer, don't you? Woo, glory. I thank God that I got a brother that bought it back. Hey, Jesus Christ, I thank God that He is my throne winner tonight. I thank God that He's the one that is sitting high on the throne tonight. And here's what He said. He said that He had the authority to buy it back. You know what He said in Leviticus 25:25? He said, if thy brother be waxen poor. Can I say to you tonight, we're all poor compared to Christ Jesus. He said, if thy brother be waxing poor, Leviticus 25:25, and has sold away some of his possessions. Can I say to you, when Adam fell in the garden, he sold away his possession. He sold away his possession when he sinned. Can I say to you tonight, when you get caught up in sin, it's going to cost you something. Every time you get sold up in sin, it's going to cost you something. Every time it don't take a little bit of coldness, I want you to know, it's going to cost you something in your life. And here he said this, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem it that which his brother sold. That which was lost, he can redeem it back. He can buy it back. And he knows that this scroll, when it opens up, it's going to see that title deed to what God is wanting to redeem back, what He's wanting to buy back. How is He going to do that tonight? He is going to judge the world of sin. He is going to judge the world one day. And get this tonight, John wept because he knew that as long as the scroll was sealed, Satan would have power over the earth. As long as this scroll is sealed up and nobody opens it, Satan's got power. He's got reign over this earth. And until it's open, folks, I want you to know tonight as your pastor, he's going to have that authority still down here. You remember when Jesus went there and he went out to fast and to pray and he went out in the wilderness and Satan said, if you'll bow down to me, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all this. Not one time did Jesus say, you don't have authority over that. He knew he's got authority over this earth. He's got authority over this world. Hey, I want you to know he's got authority over people. If you don't believe me, just look in the Bible in Mark chapter number 5 when that maniac was over there and he was cutting himself and acting crazy and wanting to die out in the cemetery and didn't know what to do. Hey, there's some old boys in here been that way. Can I get an amen? Satan had you wrapped up. He had you bound up. He had you bought with a price. He had you bought. He had you sealed in your sins. But guess what? Jesus Christ bought you back. He bought you back on the cross of Calvary when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Satan's got, he's just having a heyday in the world we live in. But there's going to come a day when that seal's open. We'll get into that. He's going to get what's coming to him. And tonight, that kinsman redeemer, I want to give you this. When he came and bought it back, it was his. And it no longer was theirs. Tonight, can I say to you, my salvation is not mine tonight, it's His. He bought me. He bought me with a price. He bought me. And I'm sealed and saved tonight. And I thank God for that tonight. He's bought me with a price tonight. Let me show you this tonight as we move on. Number one, I see tonight that we see that scroll that had been sealed. John said, I seen a scroll that had been sealed. But let me give you this tonight in verse 5 through 7. He saw a lamb that had been slain. He said, I seen a scroll that had been sealed, but I seen a lamb that had been slain. Look with me in verse number 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David have prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And John said, and I behold. I want to stop right there. I want you to look what I wrote down here that God laid on my heart. John here, he's fixing to turn. He said, and lo, in the he said, he's fixing to turn. And look at this. John turned to see the lion, but he saw the lamb. Listen to me tonight. You make sure you always see him as your lamb tonight, your sacrifice tonight. If you don't know him as your lamb tonight, that lion, when he comes, he's going to be against you. John turned to see that lion, but when he turned, he seen a lamb. Folks, tonight, look with me, if you will, in verse number 5 and verse number 6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. I want you to look tonight when John turned to see this lion, but instead he saw a lamb. I want you to look at the lamb's location. He was right in the midst. He wouldn't hit out in some corner. He wasn't out where you couldn't find him. He is right in the middle of everything. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Is he right in the middle of your life? Or has there been a time he was right in the middle of your life and he was everything, and now he's over to the corner, he's over to the side, he's over here, he's over there, but he's not where he used to be in your life. When John turned to see that, he seen the lamb's location. Is the lamb in the middle of your life tonight? Brother Tony said it when he started. If you've been with Jesus, it'll shine. He said there's a lamb's location. But I want you to look at me in verse number 6 at the lamb's identification that he seen when he saw this lamb that had been slain. When John looked, he said, behold, he was a lamb that had been slain. He said, I want you to know he was right in the midst. But let me tell you about the identification when I looked at him and I seen him. I ask you tonight, how do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus tonight? That song they sung listed him in all different kind of ways, his names tonight. Can I say to you tonight, if all you've got him as is the man upstairs, you don't have very much. Big guy in the sky, you ain't got a whole lot. He's a lot more than that tonight. He's my Redeemer, amen. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Father. He's my God tonight. Let me show you the identification he said here in verse number 6. He said, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. John said, I saw a scroll that had been sealed, but I seen a lamb that had been slain. And here's what he said. He said, the number 7 is divine perfection. In God's word tonight, the number 7 is divine perfection. It's perfect in what he does. Tonight, can I say to you, when he saved you, he perfectly saved you. He perfectly saved you. Man, let's look at these 7 horns tonight that he's talking about tonight. And you'll see here the 7 horns, it shows his authority tonight. Them 7 horns tonight shows his authority, it shows his strength, and it shows his power. And it shows how omnipotent he is, how omnipotent he is. He is all strength, all power, and all authority tonight. He is what Satan is not tonight. Satan has authority, but he has limited authority. Satan has strength, but he has limited strength. Satan has power, but he has limited power. So tonight I see them 7 horns shows his authority, his strength, and his power. But look at his 7 eyes tonight and what that does. When you know God tonight, you know this Lamb tonight that's living in your life. He knows what's better for you than you know tonight. He knows what to pray before you ever do pray tonight. Last night, me and Kaylee got to go to the hospital and we walked in there with a bull, Timothy Hathcock, and we got together around the bed and prayed. In the middle of that prayer, I don't know why we prayed it, but so we got to praying in the Holy Ghost, asking God to move on them nurses that would come in that night and to anoint them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and that they would have peace and rest as they worked on his body. We said amen, and this little girl opens the door and she comes in and she says, I'm going to be your nurse tonight. And we started telling her, hon, we done prayed for you. So we started telling her about Jesus, how good God was. We started having a fit in that room. All of a sudden, this woman knocks on the door and says, I hate to interrupt, but you're not going to be on this floor tonight. You're going up to another floor. And that little girl, she just looked. You just seen her start draining down. I said, oh, wait a minute, huh? You done received, and they can't do nothing about that. You done received tonight. You done been right here where God is tonight. You done received. So we got to talking about what God's going to do. She's in nursing school, 1 or 2 semesters in. Not a whole lot in. She says it's rough. She says it's tough. Kaylee says it's rough. She says it's tough. Hey, you say it's rough. You say it's tough. The ones that's been through it in says it's rough. Says it's tough. You say, what do you do tonight? You lean on God's power in your life. Hey, that little girl, we grabbed hands there and we told her we loved her and said, I'll never see you again. Said, where do you go to church at? We started telling her where we went to church at. Right to the T where she could find a place to worship God. You said, what is that about tonight? That is nothing more than the power of God sitting down when you pray tonight. I see tonight the number 7 is divine perfection. I see his horns, but I also see his eyes. If you look through the eyes of Jesus tonight, you'll know a whole lot more than you've ever known. His wisdom, his knowledge, and all knowing tonight is he's omniscient tonight. That's what he is tonight. He has all wisdom, all knowledge, and he is all knowing tonight. Do you know tonight? I'm all over the place. But I got to sit down on this. He's all wisdom. He's all knowing. He's all power. He's all this. Satan is not. So if you got something going on and you don't speak it, Satan don't know it. Listen to me. If you don't speak it, Satan don't know it. In the book of Proverbs, it says, where the talebearer ceases, there is no fire. Where the talebearer ceases, there is no wood for the fire. There's nothing else you can put in the furnace. He can't stoke it. Old Satan can't stoke it. So if I know something and I keep my mouth shut about it, he don't know about it. You know how Satan knows it? He's the prince of the air. When we start letting it out, blabbering, letting it go, what does he do? He takes it and has a heyday with it, don't he? But Satan don't know what's going on in my mind. Satan don't know what's going on in my heart. He don't know what's going on in my soul. He don't know nothing about me, only what I tell him. Only what I tell him. He don't know nothing else. He don't know nothing about me. Only what I tell him. Only what I tell him. But the next point is, it said it's the 7 spirits. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, is omnipresent. Satan cannot be everywhere at one time. There's a lot of folks in this room. I'm one of them guilty of this, and this is wrong for me to say, but I'm guilty. I said, boy, Satan been wearing me out. He's got a lot more people to worry about than me. Satan can't be on me, David Barnes, Eric Carruth, Tony Woodham, and Lee Markham all at the same time because he's not omnipresent. Read your book. He can't. He's not everywhere. Now, he's got a little old army that follows him. Amen. He got some angels that got kicked out of heaven. His little soldier that does his old dirty work, and they may come to you, and they may wear you out, and they may get on you, and they may do this, and they may do that. But you listen to me tonight. A lot of times we give credit to Satan when it ain't Satan. A lot of times we give credit to the devil when it ain't the devil. Do you remember over there in Mark chapter number 5, I done said it. You remember about that man with the demonic spirit? He didn't say he had Satan on him. He said he had a demon. He had a demon. He had a legion. He had legions of demons on him. Enough to run 2,000 pigs slap crazy. See, the devil don't have to get on you to run you crazy. He can get his little army on you. That's enough. He don't have to get on you. So tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus Christ has all the authority and all the power. He has it all tonight. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing, all-present. He knows everything about you tonight. And tonight, that's why, Brother Mason, tonight, Romans 8:26, amen, when we don't know what to pray, the groaning prays it for us. Let me show you this tonight in this book. Let me show you this. This is just how amazing. He is the only one worthy to open this book. Because he's the only one that has the authority, has all wisdom, and he's the only one that has complete presence. Folks, Jesus Christ is going to present himself as both Redeemer and the reigning one. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. 100% man when he came, 100% God. Jesus Christ is God. God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he says. Tonight, let's not water down who Jesus is. Let's not water down who the Holy Ghost is. Let's not water down who God is. Let's just give all three praise tonight. He says, Jesus Christ is God. Let me move on here. Not only did he see a seal that had been, a book that had been sealed, a scroll that had been sealed, a lamb that had been slain, but he saw a song being sung. He saw a song being sung. You said, no, he heard a song. No, he saw a song. No, he heard. You can't see a song, you hear a song. Me and Kaylee didn't talk about this week. Verse number 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24, verse number 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors or incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. By the way, the prayers that you pray, they're not going unheard and they're not going unempty. And they're not going out just out into space. He's collecting them tonight. He's collecting them tonight. Them kids that you've been praying for forever, your mom and your daddy that's lost, you've been praying for, your spouse. He's got them. He's got them. See, he's all-knowing. He knows you tonight. And look what he said there. And they sung a new song. They sung a new song. You said, preacher, how do you know they saw a song? Let me give y'all this. Have you ever heard a song, you heard it, and you listened to it, and you went on, and then a couple weeks down the road, you heard it again, and you're like, oh, man, I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't see that in that. At my daddy's funeral in 1997, they sung a song, Daddy's Hands. It may be a country song. I don't know what it is, but it's Daddy's Hands are soft and gentle. You know what I'm talking about, Miss Patsy? Soft and gentle. And understanding the love in Daddy's hands. I'd heard that song for years. But until I heard it at that funeral, I didn't understand exactly what Daddy's hands are. Tonight, can I say to you as your pastor, you can hear songs, you can see a lot of things. But until you see God as your heavenly Father tonight, and that you're in His hands, and He's all-knowing, and He's all-present, He's right there with you, it'll change everything about you tonight. Here when these elders got here, look what he said here in verse number 9. And they sung. You said, preacher, what kind of song did they sing? Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. They sung a new song. A song that never had been sung. They sung a new song. I see not only they sang a new song, but they was in heaven, they sung a heavenly song. Can I get an amen? Ooh, glory. This afternoon, I heard a song that was a heavenly song. Man. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look in verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Why? You can't number it. You can't number how many people will be around the throne of God. You can't number how many is going to be around that throne tonight. The question is, will you be around the throne? You can't number how many is going to be there, Brother Connor. The question is not, are you going to be part of them around the throne tonight? There's a new song. There's a heavenly song. You say ain't much of a singer, you will be up yonder. We'll all be able to sing when we get up there. You hear me? You get in the presence of God, son, you're going to let her eat. I say it's a new song. I say it's a heavenly song. But I also say it's an excellent song. Why? Because they knew what it was to be in the hands of God. They knew what it was to be hungry and to be fed. They know what it was to be starving and to be fed. They knew what it was to be broke and to be blessed. They knew what it was to be naked and to be clothed. And as they sat around that throne, they started singing this song. Let me give this to you tonight in verse number 12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Jesus is worthy because he is the Lamb of God tonight. He is the Lamb of God tonight. I'll share with you this before I go. I want you to think about that tonight. He said, I saw the book and it was sealed. And who's worthy to undo that? Listen, you don't want your loved ones here when that seal's undone. That seal ain't been undone yet, by the way. It's not been undone. The Lamb's there. It's lining up. The Lamb is there. You read in this book, they fixing to open them up. And we're going to get to read what's going to happen. You don't want your loved ones there when that happens. You want to, at all costs, to show them the love of Christ Jesus. At all costs, no matter what it costs you, Brother Hayden Nolan, at all costs, you want to let your family know that you're a child of God and how they can be a child. At all costs. No matter what, at all costs. At all costs. They said they went into a foreign country. A foreign country, and kids were starving so bad. So bad, kids were starving. And said this little boy, may have been 10 to 11 year old, said when they went into that starving country, and they went in, they started giving food out, and they got to the end, and all they had left, there's kids everywhere, and all they had left was a watermelon. It's all they had left to give out. And said they took it, and they cut that watermelon into pieces. And the kids got all they could get, and one little boy got that piece. And all the other kids just eating up all they can eat up, just tearing it up, eating up all they can. You ever know anybody like that? Just eat all they can. All about me, all about me, all about me. And said he was cramming it in. But that one little boy didn't. And said that the man that was over that missionary group said, why ain't he eating? These kids ain't eating days. He could not live very much longer. He is malnourished. We got to get back to these kids. And he said that he watched that little boy. And he went into a little hut. And said he watched through that hut to where that little boy was. And right there where that little boy was, there's another little boy a lot worse than him. Tonight, can I say that no matter how bad you've been, there's somebody a lot worse than you. Said he watched that little boy, and his little brother was laying there, couldn't even raise his head up. And said that little boy would take that watermelon, chew it up real fine, and spit it into his brother's mouth. You said, that's nasty. That's nasty. That's love. That's love. Said that whole piece of that, man, I heard that this week and it tore my heart up. That whole piece of that watermelon, that little boy sat there and did that the whole time. Said when they went back to that village a couple months later, said they got asking where that little boy was. And they said, well, he died. But the brother that he was feeding, he's still alive and doing good. There's going to come a day in your life that you're going to die. But what you leave behind can do somebody good. And if you just leave them Jesus, I promise you, it'll do them good tonight. Why leave them Jesus? He's the only one worthy. I'm going to leave my kids inheritance, money. I'm going to leave them fame and fortune. Don't leave them that. It's good too if you can. But if you don't leave them Jesus, you left them in a failure state. I know a lot of people that provide well, do good, do real good. They provide well, do good, love their family. But Jesus ain't nowhere in it. Folks, tonight, we ain't got but one thing to look forward to tonight, and that's Jesus Christ. My question to this, I started off with what John saw, but what is your kids and what is your family seeing in you? Can they look at you and say, hey, I see Jesus all inside of Les Carr. I see him all. I look at David Barnes and I see Jesus all inside. I look at Jackie Scott. I see Jesus all inside of him. I don't know what people say about me, but I hope they can say, I see Jesus. Last night we was at that hospital, that little girl going to walk out. Son, we done in the Holy Ghost when we says. Took my daughter with me, boy, she ain't about 19-year-old. She'd pray heaven down. I get envious and jealous and I have to rebuke it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. She out pray me 10-1. Son, she get in there just, whoa, glory. And I just go over and have a fit, squalling, snot, and carrying on, you know. She get to praying heaven down in there. I know God's all in the room. And that little girl went to leave. And before we told her where the church was, they said, he's our pastor. She said, I knew there's something different about you. I said, you having a fit over there. You know why I was having a fit? Because I seen my 19-year-old daughter get a hold of heaven. Miss Patsy, I seen her get a hold of heaven. There's been times in my life when daddy couldn't get a hold of heaven, but he sure needed it. Just remember who you're feeding. Remember who you're feeding. So that's just my kid. That may be a time you're going to have your kid to get a hold of heaven for you. Just remember who you're feeding. Brother Lee, there's been times you fed J.D. Markham. Never thought he'd do you as good as it's doing you right now. All them years you fed him, you didn't think it, but you fed him Jesus. Garrett Barnes, you fed him for years, and Dylan didn't think he'd do, but it's done you good. Just feed him Jesus. There's another generation coming up. And I don't know how long we're going to make it in this thing. I'm telling you right now because I really think he's fixing to open it up. He's fixing to pull us out of here. And we're going to be gone. And I don't know about you, but I'm on the first flight out. Amen. Heaven's my home. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you that you feed my soul by the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, or girl in this place tonight, Lord God. I pray that when they look and see what John saw, they seen that scroll that's going to be emptied out one day. And we don't want our family here, Father. We don't want them here. We want them in heaven. And Lord, we want them to see that lamb that has been slain. And we want them to get a new song in their heart and leave this old world behind and get following you. And Lord, when that day comes, what a glorious day that is. To know that our family has been bought with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that you bless this word. Help somebody tonight real good with it if you would. What I've messed up on, I've asked forgiveness and you cover it in the blood. Lord, I pray you help somebody. It's in Jesus' name. All of God's people say, amen.